chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. As we've been looking at in the last few weeks, we've been talking about different difference makers in the Bibles. This year's theme is making a difference. And we looked at some different Bible character lives and some of their character traits to see why they were able to make a difference. And we looked at the Apostle Paul. We saw how he was able to make a difference because none of those things moved him. He continued on despite all the hardships and trials that he faced. We looked at Daniel, and Daniel taught us how to live godly in a pagan culture. We also look at the story of Abraham and how Abraham, because of his faith, was able to make a difference. And then we came about and we looked at Joseph, and we saw Joseph was able to make a difference in this world because he was willing to forgive and not become bitter. And last week, we looked at the greatest difference maker, and that was Jesus Christ, when he came to this world and died for our sins and gave us an opportunity to go to heaven. This morning, I would like to look at, instead of a person, I'd like to look at a thing, and it's the Bible. The Bible can make the difference. The Bible can make the difference. See, the Word of God can change lives, and the Word of God can make a difference in your life if you will allow it. This morning, I'd like to first of all think about why the Bible can make a difference. We're only going to spend a minute or two on that, or a few minutes at least. It's because we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. If you didn't get a chance to hear in Sunday school, it will probably be on the web sometime this week or next week that you can go back and listen to it. We've been going through the books of the Bible, and we looked at the book of Proverbs this morning and talked about how that demonstrates God's wisdom for us. But also, I'd like to look at the reason why the Bible is not making a difference in some people's lives. And last but not least, when the Bible begins to make the difference. Here in Genesis chapter number 2, verses number 16 and 17, God gives his word to Adam and Eve, gives them direction, gives them the command. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 16, and the Lord God commandeth the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof shalt surely die. Now, God in his foreknowledge, and God because he created, knew exactly how the Garden of Eden was going to work. He knew that all the trees were able to be eaten out of but just one. And he says, look, stay away from that tree. You know what? God's word made a difference. If God did not tell Adam and Eve that, and they would have eaten of the fruit, they would have not known any better. And guess what? They probably would not have been held accountable to there. Even when they got sick and when they died later on, they would have never known what had caused that. But God in his word tells them how to live, how to make a difference. And I tell you, Christians and people that are even unsaved here today, God's word is what makes a difference. He tells us and shows us in his word what is truth. And he tells us and shows us in his word how we are supposed to live. And if Adam and Eve would have been obedient and would have paid attention to his word, things would be different today. Things throughout all the universe, all this world would be different. See, they didn't let God's word make a difference to them. Instead, they chose to ignore it. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer and ask God to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, when we look at this story, I pray that you help us to understand that if you are God, which we believe you are, and you are supreme, Lord, we need to search after your wisdom, listen to you, and listen to your word, Lord, and let it make the difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes some things that just doesn't seem like it's working, but it's not because of the thing that's trying to work, but instead it's the person doing it. Let me give you an example. You ever tried to been on a diet before? And that diet that you're on, you just turn around, you work hard and hard and hard, and guess what? It just doesn't seem like it's working. But you know, usually it's because that person isn't eating right or not sticking to that diet or not exercising the way they're supposed to. Because there are certain diets, when you eat right and you exercise right, you lose weight. And that's just the truth. It's not usually the diet that's a problem. Now, I know there's some fad diets out there that probably doesn't work, but if you're going to eat right and you're going to exercise like you should, normally you're going to end up losing weight. But also think about it from this side. And I know I usually pick on kids or pick on teenagers, but I'm going to pick on our older generation for just a second. I very rarely ever do that. But, you know, sometimes they come to me and they say, hey, Pastor, we couldn't hear you preach today. And they says, I think there's something wrong with the speakers. And I very kindly says, well, if you can't hear anybody all week long, And then you come to church and you can't hear that well. The speakers aren't going to fix it. It's not the speakers that are broken. It's your ears that are broken. So it's the thought here. And I think we all know what that's like. And we're all talking about, you know, I can't see that well anywhere. Well, you know what? Your eyes might not be as good as they used to be. And your ears might not be as good as they used to be. I'm not able to run like I used to be when I was a senior in high school. It's because my body is not as like it was when I was a senior in high school. It's not because of the fact that the running's changed. It's not because the exercise changed. My body's changed. And it's the same truth when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God is not broken. The Word of God does not need to be rewritten. The Word of God does not need to change. It's how we respond to the Word of God that needs to change. First thing I want you to think about is why the Bible can make a difference. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to go through this fairly quickly. First thing I want you to think about is the Bible gives us wisdom. There's two types of wisdoms out in the world. There's man's wisdom and there's God's wisdom. Man's wisdom, it says this wisdom in James 3:15 says this wisdom that descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. What the world's wisdom does, it always begins with a question. They always say, what is truth? Pontius Pilate walked out of that word, out of that place, or that place where they were interviewing Jesus Christ, and he walks out that place and says, well, what is truth? And I think sometimes that's where man tries to figure things out. They look at things, they look at situations, and they says, okay, what is right and what is wrong? Well, see, the Bible never does that. See, the Bible already knows what truth is. It begins with, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And if God wrote this book, that means it's truth all along. They don't sit there and look at it, and they don't question it and say, well, I wonder who God is, or I wonder what God thinks, or I wonder. It is truth that's already established. See, the world's wisdom and man's wisdom, what they do is they try to make everything out, make a world without God. The wisdom of the world is where things are explained without God. And we mentioned this morning, we looked at it and said in Sunday school class, you think about the story of evolution. You see how evolution, why was evolution written? Evolution was written because men did not want to believe that there was a one true God. And because they choose not to believe in a one true God, you know what they did? They tried to write how the universe began without God. And these other hot button issues and hot button topics, it's because the world today has looked at things and they believe truth is relative. They believe truth depends upon how the circumstances and situations are more than what really truly is fact. And that's how we get evolution. That's how we get in a society that says homosexuality is okay or that abortion is okay and those other things. It is man's wisdom without putting God into their knowledge. And this is where we come to a problem. The Word of God can make a difference. The Word of God can change lives. The Bible writers don't question God. They just begin their philosophy with affirming God. They believe that they could not discover truth unless there was a divine revelation. The Bible even says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want wisdom, you get that from God. Now, can you get man's wisdom without God? Yes. You can go and get a boatload of man's wisdom. It can even help you in this world. It can even put money in your bank account, make you popular, make all things seem like they're going well in your world. But it is not what God thinks, and it is not God's wisdom. And if you truly want help today, if you truly want to make a difference, the type of difference we desire to make, we must let the Word of God, look at the Word of God as it being God's wisdom. We must learn to respond to it the right way. The Bible talks about many ways it can make the difference. First of all, it talks about how it's a saving power, has a saving power to make the difference. How does it make a difference? It's through the Bible. We see ourselves as sinners. We see ourselves, because of our sin, we're eternally separated from God. And because we're eternally separated from God, we must repent of our sins and cry out to God and ask Jesus Christ to save us. Because he is the only one that can save us because of the fact he's the one that came and paid our price, our sin penalty. On the cross. The Bible says, Jesus even said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the world will say, there's got to be many ways. There's got to be many ways to reach Jesus. There's got to be many ways to get to heaven. But the Bible says, there is no other way. It's only through Jesus Christ. But pastor, that's being narrow-minded. That's being pushy. Now, it's what the Bible says. We really truly want to make a difference. We truly want to, where we talked about last week, when we were dead in trespasses and sin and become the sons of God and on our way to heaven, what do we need to do? We need to let the Bible make a difference. And if you're saved here today, the Bible made a difference in your life. If you're a Christian here today, it's because of the fact that you heard what the Bible had to say about your situation and that we are sinners in need of a Savior and we ask Jesus Christ to save us. There is no other way. But not only is it that, the Bible is a probing instrument. It has the power to change lives because it knows us. The Word of God says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What the Bible is saying is there, the Word of God can make a difference in your life because it can pierce even your thoughts and your intents. It can discern that the Bible is a living book and is quick and powerful. It can change you. And you go other passages of Scripture, it refers to it as a consuming fire or a devouring fire. It goes to another spot and talks about a crushing hammer that cleanses and purifies us and makes us closer to God. But also, it makes a difference in our lives because it's a defensive weapon. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It can make a difference because we have something to stand on, something to fight the devil with. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He quoted Scripture. The Bible can make a difference in your life. First, it can save you. Secondly, it can teach us how to be saved. Secondly, it can show us how to live. And thirdly, we can let it be our defense in a time of need and trouble against the attacks of Satan. Here's the main thought of the message I'd like to think about for a little while, try to apply it to our life, is why doesn't the Bible make a difference in some people's lives? Why doesn't the Bible make the difference in some people's lives? You say, "Pastor, you talk about the Word of God, you talk about it being like a hammer, how it can crush away the hard places around our heart, and how God gives our heart something tender that God can work with, or that devouring fire, or the fact that it can pierce us, and how it can affect." He said, "Pastor, I live with people, and the Bible has no difference. They look at it, and they read it, and they say, 'Oh, fooey on that. Other people wrote that. That wasn't God.'" You know, they make up excuses, and no matter what I say, no matter what I do, they could care less, and the Bible does make no difference to anybody else. Why is that? Well, there's some different things you're going to see here that Eve does. It helps us understand why the Bible makes a difference in some of our lives, but in other people's lives, it just doesn't make a difference. Here in Genesis chapter number 3, let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 7. We had the story of the fall of man. I think most of you know this story, but I think you're going to see that in verses 16 and 17 in the previous chapter, what did God say? God's word could have made the difference. God's word gave them instruction. Here in chapter number 3, he says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, 'Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.'" So he comes and asks the question. He says, "Yea, have God said?" Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Verse number 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye should die.'" Now, I think she's adding to the Scripture there, adding to what God's word said. God didn't say anything about touching it, at least that we do not know. Verse number 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, 'Ye shall not surely die.'" What happens there is the devil is calling God a liar. Verse number 5, "For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Now, I want you to see here in this story, God had given them a directive. Pretty simple. Verses 16 and 17. "Look, you can eat all these trees, but not this one." But here in verse number 1 to 7, we see how Eve begins to question the Word of God. She doesn't view it as a commandment from him. Instead, in verse number 1, you see the reason why people do not allow the Word of God to make a difference is, number 1, they view it as negotiable. They view it as negotiable. Why doesn't the Word of God make a difference in everybody's life? It's because some people view it as negotiable. Some people, instead of looking at it as God's preserved, inerrant Word of God, the truth out of God, they say, "Oh, is this negotiable? Is there something here that maybe we can work on?" You look at what it says in verse number 1. It says, the devil says, "Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden." See, God left no room for Adam and Eve to negotiate. God didn't turn around and say, "Okay, Adam and Eve, if you do this, this, and this, you can eat of the tree." There was no negotiation there. What they got him to do, God got Eve to start to question God. Question God, did God really mean that? And I tell you, sometimes in our Christian lives, the problem with the reason why the Word of God does not make a difference in some Christians' lives is because we start asking ourselves, does God really mean what He says? Yes, He means what He says. He says it in His Word. He says, don't eat of the trees. And they says, yay, have God said that. You know, sometimes we see some plain things found in the Word of God, and we turn around and say, what, does God really mean that we shouldn't have premarital sex or cheat on our husband or wife or get divorced or, you know, the wide variety of things that we can talk about. Does God really mean what He's saying? Yes, He does. It's not negotiable. And that's what He said. Why doesn't the Bible make a difference in everybody's lives? Because some people look at it as negotiating. He said, okay, God, I know Your Word says this, and I don't mind this, this, and this, but on this last point, nah, I don't really want to do that. And I see the Word of God is the Word of God. If we look at Him as supreme, and we look at the only place we get wisdom from is from God, then guess what? It's non-negotiable. Second thing I want you to see here, not only do the people allow the people that do not allow God's Word to make a difference, it's not only they look at it as negotiable, they look at it as inconsequential. They look at it as inconsequential. You know, here in verse chapter number 3, verse number 4, it is a lie that the devil has been feeding to mankind for a very long time. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, God gave them details in verses 16 and 17. It says, there is a punishment coming if you disobey. And the devil turns around and says to him, hey, look, you're not going to die. Oh, he might say that, but he doesn't really mean it. And this is a lie straight from the pit of hell. This is a lie why many people don't see a need for salvation. Oh, yes, I know what that book says. I know what the Bible says about this place called hell. I know. But I don't believe a loving God would send someone to hell. His Word says it. Guess what? There is a consequence to our sins. There is a consequence. And the reason why some people do not let the Bible make a difference in their life is because they begin questioning it. They begin looking at God's Word as negotiable. Hey, yeah, I know what you're saying, God, but you really don't mind if I do this. God, it wasn't for my circumstances. It wasn't for what I was going through. God, you don't really care, do you? And then we turn around and say, and if I do sin, if I do wrong, I don't believe God's going to punish me anyway. See, Eve thought, you know what? What this serpent is saying makes a lot of sense. I'm not just going to die for eating a little bit of fruit. That would be ridiculous. But see, God's Word, either it's truth or it's not truth. Either it is what we're looking, either we're looking at it as from the Word of God, or we're looking at it as something that's negotiable and inconsequential. Next thing is another lie the devil tries to feed is they view God as withholding something good from them. The reason why some people do not let the Bible make a difference is, first of all, they think it's negotiable. They don't think it's really all that it's supposed to be. Secondly, it's because they think it's inconsequential. But they also think it is that God's trying to withhold something from them. God's trying to take something good away from them. Look what it says in verse number 5. It says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The problem is that they began believing that God was withholding something from them. The problem was that the devil had convinced them, hey, look, don't look at this great garden you have. Don't look at the dominion you have. Don't look at all the other trees that are in the garden. Don't look at all the blessings you have. Look at that one thing that God says you can't have. And the only reason why God's holding that back from you is because He doesn't want you to have everything that's good. He doesn't want you to have that fun. He doesn't want you to eat of that fruit. You know, that's a lie. The devil has pushed on the mankind. And people have gotten to believe this. And here's the thought. Is if you really, truly believe the Word of God, you know that God's not going to hold something back from you that's good. He tells us in His Word. He's not even going to give us the desires of our heart, for desires are the right desires. Christian, when's the last time you felt like, hey, God's taking away my fun. God just doesn't want me to have any fun. God doesn't want me to enjoy life. Man, you don't understand what the Bible's teaching us and what the Bible's saying. The reason why some people do not let the Word of God make a difference is because they think it's negotiable. They don't think it has consequences. And it's because they believe that God is withholding something good from them. They also, the fourth reason, is because they view it as one of two paths. And the reason that their path might be better than God's. They view it as a choice. They view it as a choice. Hear what it says in verse number 6. Eve begins to look at the tree, begins to look at the sin, and she begins to ponder in her heart which way would be the best way. And this is one of the main reasons why people look at and do not allow the Word of God to make a difference. Get this, is they look at the Bible and they say, okay, that's one way, and this is another way. But if it's God, and God is supreme, then there is only one way. There is only one right answer. The other path is God's, is man's wisdom, and is the path that's the wrong way. It's the path that leads to hell. Here, look what it says in verse number 6. And she, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to be to the eyes, and the tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her and did eat. Now I want you to see here, the problem plainly stated here is she did not believe God. I mean, there was no other doubt. Verses 16 and 17, he says, do not eat of the fruit, or you shall surely die. She looked at the fruit, she saw the fruit, and she thought it was good for her, and she did not believe that God was going to punish her, and she chose her own path. And that is what we do when we look at the Word of God, and we hear what the Word of God says, and we look at that way, he says, okay, God, that is your way, and then we choose and go a different path. We just don't believe God knows what's best. You know, who are we as the creature looking to the Creator and saying, God, I don't think you really know what's best. I'm not going to do it. Amen. That's what he's saying here. It's pretty simply, go back to 16 and 17. He says, don't eat of it. And Eve starts looking at it and says, you know what? Does God really mean that? I know that God really is not going to, I'm not going to die because of this. I mean, really, there's two choices here. It's whether I eat or I don't eat. No. If God said it, and God means it, God means what he says, we need to be obedient. And that's what we got to look at, the Word of God. The Word of God can make a difference in your life. You say, Pastor, it doesn't make any difference for me. I read it, I don't understand it. I look at it, and I don't really, doesn't get anything out of it. I hear the preaching and the teaching, it really doesn't affect me. You're saying the Word of God can make a difference. It doesn't for me. Well, the questions are you look at it as negotiable? Do you really look at it that God says something, but that really doesn't mean what he says when it comes to punishment? Do you really view it as one of two choices? Do you view it that God's withholding something from you? Last Sunday night, when we were talking about the Word of God, I said, the reason why most Christians do not let the Word of God make a difference or something similar to that is because of the fact they don't obey it. If you view this as God's wisdom for us to how to live our lives, and if we look to it and we need it for wisdom, we need it for the answer to questions, then it's going to mean something. Then it's going to mean something because we're going to open it up and says, I got this need, I got this problem, I don't know what to do, I don't know how I'm supposed to live, I don't know how to treat my wife, I don't know how to treat my husband, I don't know how to raise my kids, I don't know how to live the righteous and right life. And if we need the answers, we turn to the book and we find the answers. But when we're not going to listen to the book, and we're not going to obey what the book says, when we're not going to apply it to our life, it is going to be meaningless. It is not going to make a difference. It is going to be nothing but boring and dry to you. But when you need it for the answers of life, that's when you're going to apply it. When you read it and say, that is God's word to me, and what God's word said, I'm going to do. That's when it's going to make a difference. See, God's word didn't make a difference in Eve's life. God's word instead became negotiable. God's word became just a path that she could take. And with that path, ended up sending people to destruction. Plainly stated, she was unbelief. A belief is what you accept to be true. Unbelief is rejecting what God says is true. Non-belief is non-existent. Everybody believes something. And God's word would have made all the difference in Eve's life if she would just believe his word. Now, think about that. Okay, Pastor, I hear you. What's the big deal? I got a brain. I got a mind. You know, what? Doesn't God want me to use that? Well, you think about it. We reap the consequences of placing greater weight on our own reasoning than we do the Word of God. When we say, I'm going to think of it myself, and I'm going to make my own decision based off my own wisdom, you know what we're going to do? We're going to reap the consequences. In Genesis 3:7, it says, and the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See, the problem results in pain brought on by our own refusal to trust God. And here's where we're trying to get to. When we make this mistake, there's a transition. Think about what it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And where does this truth, their own truth, lie them, take them to? It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. See, when we begin to do our own reasoning, listening to man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom, what we will do is we'll take where we used to know God and used to glorify God and used to listen to God's word and used to be obedient to God's word and used to do everything that God would want us to do. We began to look at it from man's standpoint and man's wisdom, and we take the truth of God and turn it into a lie. That's how people in the day of society we live in can have these open sins and people still question, is it okay or not okay? It says it in His word what truth is, but people begin to question, oh, does He really mean that? Does He really say that there is a place that's going to be, we're going to be punished at if we don't get saved? Is there really, God's just trying to withhold some fun from us? It's not that big of a deal. See, that's just wrong. The truth is, we're trading the truth for our own thinking. We are selling the word of God short. And when we do that, the word of God's not going to make a difference. You know, we can sit, and you know, it's amazing how the Bible can speak volumes to one person and say another person, equal intelligence, equal reasoning. It's not because somebody's really, really smart. I'll tell you, some of the most humble people that get the most out of the Bible are somebody who probably doesn't have college educations. And I'm not saying that a person who is, you know, have all the college degrees. I'm just saying it's not because of the intelligence level. It's because of how we let the Word of God affect us. And you will not, the Bible will not make a difference in your life if you try to ignore it. If you try to negotiate with it. If you try to don't believe the consequences. If you turn around and say, God's trying to withhold something from me. If you try to say that it is a choice or it is a path. It is the truth that must be followed if you want it to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference unless you're willing to look at it as God's word and that you must obey. Third point. First, you know, God's word can make a difference. Secondly, the reason why God's word doesn't make a difference in everybody's life. Last but not least, when God's word begins to make the difference, or when God's word makes the difference. I want you to understand, okay, so you got my attention, Pastor. Okay, what am I supposed to do now? I want God's word to make a difference. I want my devotion life to be good. I want when I hear the word of God preached. What do I do to make a difference? Well, first, when it says in Isaiah, listen to what it says in Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9. It said, let the wicked forsake his way. That means when you don't have the mind of God about something, forsake it. When you got sin in your life, forsake it. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. When you've been thinking like the world and be thinking like man's wisdom, return unto God and God's way of thinking. And it says, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And here's the thing. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What he's saying is, you're never going to get it until you're willing to submit to my way. Because you think differently than I do. You're made up differently than God is. We have a sin nature. We have a wicked nature. We have an old nature that we fight against. And we must learn that it is God's way. And we must submit to his way and submit to his word. And that is when we can have God's wisdom. And that is when God's word makes a difference. God's word can change your life. But you have to be willing to be obedient. You have to be willing to forsake your ways. James 1:22 puts it this way. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. And most churches today, people are hearers of the word. And they hear it and they hear it and they hear it. And they begin to negotiate it. They begin to say, I know what the preacher says. I know what the Bible says, but I don't know if he really means that. They begin to say, oh, yeah, I know that this sin's going to cause this problem or this punishment later on, but it's not happening right now, so I'm not going to worry about it. Oh, God's just trying to hold our fun back. God could really care less if I do this. Or, yes, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but it's just a choice. I can choose either way. No. If we want to let God's word make a difference, we have to begin looking for the mind of God. And thinking of the God, mind of God. And become doers of the word. When we read it, it says it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to do it. That's when God's word make a difference. If your devotion's life becomes stale. The preaching's become stale. Look, don't look past the fact. that are you living what you read? It needs to become a living book. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh. Now this talks about being blessed means happy. Are you happy in your Christian walk? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And what that's saying, they're not paying attention to the world system. They're not paying attention to man's wisdom, the world's wisdom. They're saying, hey, what does God's word say about it? And what does it say in verse number 2? But his delight is where? It is in the law of the Lord. He says, I'm looking for wisdom. I'm searching for wisdom. My delight is found in this book because in this book is wisdom. And what does he do with the book? It says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. That means that he believes it's God's word and he's going to meditate on it. He's not going to let this world mess with his mind and change God's word into a lie. He's going to meditate and see what God's word says. And then when that happens, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What does that mean? It means that God's word is going to make a difference in his life. But why isn't the Bible making a difference in my life? Why isn't the Bible making a difference in my family's life? Why isn't the Bible changing my hearts and lives? We got to learn how to obey it. We got to believe it's God's word and turn from our wicked ways, become doers, and meditate in the word of God. I love the little story where that verse where it describes Samuel. It says, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. None of his words fell to the ground. He took every word God said and upheld it and listened to it. As we get ready to close, has God's word really made a difference in you? Now, it did. If you're saved here today and you saw your need, God's word, whether it was through preaching or through a track or through listening to somebody talk, the word of God made a difference and showed you your need of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, let me encourage you. Just a minute, we're going to have invitation time. The Bible tells us that if you die without God, without knowing Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you will die and go to a horrible place called hell. Don't let the devil tell you, oh no, God won't do that. God's word is truth, and God's word says there is an everlasting punishment for those who reject his son. So get that settled, get that straight today. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, let the word of God make a difference in your life by living it, believing it. This is God's word. It can make a difference if you learn how to obey. This is an illustration. I did not write this because I've never watched an old foreign film, but I know what they're talking about. Remember the old foreign films when a person's lips didn't match his voice? You ever seen that? It's kind of annoying. I mean, especially in my generation, the generation after me, they would get really annoyed. They couldn't put up with that. But you've seen those movies where they talk at one time and the lips are moving a different way. And this becomes the illustration of a Christian who says that they believe God, but there's no reflection of it in their life. They say, I'm a Christian. I believe in it. But they really don't believe God. When we truly believe God, our lives and our lips will begin to align. Man's history begins with a struggle regarding the word of God that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter number 2. And what our struggle is today with the Christians that are in a day and time today. Oh, I believe God. Oh, I'm going to sing the praises. But when it comes to God's written word, we just choose not to obey it. If you want the word of God to make a difference in your life, you have to be a doer of the word. You have to take it. You have to learn it. You have to grasp it. You have to. Why would God teach you something else when you're not willing to learn the first step? And many times he has showed us what we need to work on. And we say, oh, I'm not going to do that. God, what else do you want me to do? Let the word of God make a difference. It's here. He's written it for us. It's a desire that he has for us to learn of it, to meditate on it. We're going to be blessed and happy if we will learn to not walk according to man's wisdom, but instead delight ourselves in the law of the Lord and meditate on those things. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed,